Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for Breathe Again Magazine, the radio show. A moment of hope, inspiration, and solutions. Listen to real-life testimonies from women and men just like you who have gone from victim to victorious. Sit back, listen, connect in the chat room, and share the show with a friend. Here's your host, author, and motivational speaker, Nicole Cleveland.
Hello, hello, hello. This is motivational speaker and radio host, sexual abuse survivor Nicole Cleveland, and I am here once again sharing testimonies of faith and encouragement with you. I'm so glad that you decided to hang out with us on today for 30 minutes. You're going to be encouraged and motivated. I tell you, yes, you are, honey. We come to you each week with stories of victorious testimonies of women and men just like you, just like me. They've gone through the fire. They've come out the fire, and they're here to share their story with you, so you don't feel like you are alone or you're by yourself. That is what our mission is. And our mission is just to encourage one person. If we can get somebody to get on the line and listen in and they hear Veronica's story or they hear Nicole's story or they hear Mary's story and they are encouraged, our mission has been accomplished. We touched somebody and we provided hope to them. Well, you know what? I want to interview you too. If you have a powerful testimony, I want you to connect with me. Connect with me on my social media networks. Go to the website, breatheagainmagazine.org. You can click the little share your story. Somebody will get back to you and get you scheduled to be on the radio show. Because your testimony is not for you. Yes, God did it for you. He brought you out. But he brought you out not just to hold on to it. He brought you out so you can share it with somebody to provide hope for them too. I know you don't want nobody on the verge of giving up. I know you don't want nobody at home in the bed crying, feeling like tomorrow's not going to come and life is over. I know that's not you. So you want to share your story. I want you to connect with me so I can interview you too. You know, today's show is very powerful. It's all about overcoming, and our stories are always overcoming. But today's show is about overcoming sexual abuse and bringing awareness to domestic violence, because both of these issues occur each and every day. Every hour they occur somewhere, you know, and we can provide hope. If we have gone through it and came out it, we can share our stories so that other person does not feel like they're by themselves. Connect with me online, too. I want you to connect with me on my social media network, at Breathe Again on Twitter, or at Nicole C. Online on Twitter. And on Facebook, we are Breathe Again Mag, Breathe Again Mag, or you can find me at Nicole C. Online. Nicole C. Online. Each week I try to play this prayer before we go into the show because it just sets the tone and it sets the atmosphere. So I'm going to play this prayer. I don't want you to go away because we will be right back. Don't go anywhere.
Father, Father, you hear our hearts this morning. We do not want to settle. We do not want to find our comfortable position and put up our tent there and be happy with you blessing me and mine. Father, we understand today that forgiveness and reconciliation and blessing and favor is given for reason, Lord God. It is given for purpose, Father. And today, God, we say, forgive us, Father, when we have taken on this attitude, Lord God, of all you've done. Father, use us, God, use us, pick us, choose us, Father. We want to spend ourselves. Father, I want to get to heaven with a life poured out, not with a life that looks perfect, Father. I want it to not look good, I want it to be good, Father. We love you today, Father God. We love you today, Father God. We love you today, Father God. Let our love be seen, Father God, on this earth. for the state that we were in. We were in that state, God. Yet someone bothered to take the time and present you to us. We'll never, ever take it for granted. And in turn, we live our lives as a thank you. As a thank you, Father. As a thank you.
I love, love, love that prayer. That is Darlene Scheck and Israel and New Breed. Darlene Scheck and Israel and New Breed. So let's go into the show. Now, my first guest is author, sexual abuse survivor, and advocate, Veronica Thomas. Veronica, are you there? Let's bring you on the line. I'm all fast and stuff. I'm all fast. Let me mute her. Hey, Veronica.
Hi, Nicole.
Hey, Veronica. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You know, I love you. I love the work that you're doing. You're doing a great, great, great service to the Hampton City community down there, and I bless God for what you are doing down there. Veronica, tell the listeners a little bit about who you are. I said you are an author, a sexual abuse survivor, but who is Veronica Thomas?
Wow. Okay. Veronica is someone that has been through a lot in life, have experienced a lot in life, but she has not allowed those experiences to break her, to hinder her from the things that she wants to succeed in life. And
yeah,
she's determined to let those that have unfortunately experienced some very negative things in their lives to realize that they don't have to allow those things that they've experienced to hinder them as well, and to be survivors of what, even if it's sexual abuse, domestic abuse, verbal abuse, whatever type of abuse, we don't have to allow it to break us down. We have a choice in that matter. And I just want each and every one out there to understand and realize that we have a choice to either remain victims of our abuse or become survivors of it.
I love it. I love it. I love it. I was actually reading that earlier, and I was like, ooh, check. I love, love, love that. We have a choice. We can be victims or we can be survivors. The choice is ours. Veronica, tell us a little bit about your story. I know you are a sexual abuse survivor. When did the sexual abuse start? When did it stop?
Unfortunately, it started when I was about 7 years old, and it was by two men that my great-grandmother trusted. I don't want to tell too much about the story. However, it was very traumatic as a child, as any sexual abuse would be for a child.
Right.
But it was something that changed my life forever. And these two men, not realizing nor caring how their action was going to affect my life. And unfortunately, that is with every perpetrator out here. When they abuse a child in any way, they do not understand, realize, nor do they care how this abuse is going to affect this child well into their adulthood and how these children can turn out. There are, at this time, about 1 in 10 children that will be sexually abused before they turn 18. About 1 in 7 girls and about 1 in 25 boys will be abused, sexually abused, before they turn 18 years old. And their lives are going to be affected for the rest of their lives.
And is it true that, because you are an advocate, is it true that half of those people that will be abused, the children, they will go unreported?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
These numbers are only the ones that are reported.
Yeah. You know, it's so unfortunate.
There are unfortunately so many that will not be reported.
And it's unfortunate because I am a survivor as well. And the effects, the long-term effects that that takes place in our lives. And I am in my 40s right now, and I still have flashbacks at times, and, you know, because I get taken back sometimes, something will trigger something, and I'll remember, oh, that's what he did, or that's what happened before. So there are long-term effects. But, you know, Veronica, you are on a mission. You're an advocate. You have a nonprofit organization. Tell me a little bit about the nonprofit organization you have.
Well, the organization, which is There's Hope in Healing, because I want everyone to realize that there is hope in healing. And it came about through my personal experiences with childhood sexual abuse. As a child, as I was growing up, and once I was taken away from that abuse, I could not understand for the life of me why God would allow me to go through such abuse like that, to be hurt like that repeatedly. I could not understand that because God is almighty. And that's what we're taught when we're children, is that God is almighty. So if he was so almighty, why would he allow me to go through these things? So as I grew and got older, there was a certain point in time in my life that I stopped believing in a God because I could not understand that. What type of God would allow this child to go through the things that she endured? So growing up and becoming an adult, for whatever reason, I still continued to go to church. Even though I felt the way that I felt, that I did not believe in God, I still went to church. I still took my children to church when I had children. And it was one day in church that God had given me that answer. And all the years that I had continuously asked him why, it was one day that a pastor was preaching, and he said that sometimes God allows those to go through things. And it kind of hit me, and I heard him, but then I didn't hear him, and I said, well, wait a minute, what did he just say? And it was funny because he said, there's someone out there that needs to hear that again. And he repeated it. He said, sometimes God allows those to go through things in order to help others. And that was very strange to me because that's exactly what I had been doing. I'd been helping people through my own story and talking to people, you know, before that even came out. And when that was said, it was as if I heard God's voice say, that's the reason. And I just sat in that church, and I just started crying. And uncontrollably, I could not stop crying. I don't know how long. I just kept crying. And because understanding then, was what I had received. I had received that answer. And ever since that time of receiving that answer, I had no more questions. No more questions. And then God led me on this path to write this book. And thanks to a very dear friend of mine who is now deceased, he was deceased before I actually finished writing this book. But I used to have terrible nightmares. And when you spoke of triggers, mine came in nightmares almost nightly, waking up throughout the night and 3-4 o'clock in the morning in cold sweat, you know, from the memories of this one recurrent nightmare. And my friend encouraged me. He said, Veronica, write about it. He said, write. He said, someone out there needs to hear your story. And I would always tell him, well, you know what? If they already have a story, they don't need my story. Why should I give them my story?
My
they already
gosh.
Have one. Exactly. And
wow.
So, but I did. I eventually, after having a nightmare, went downstairs and I went to that computer and I started writing and I wrote and other memories that I had suppressed came up and I had to deal with that and I had to process that and eventually I finished. I got to the end of this book and it was so amazing. It was so amazing because once I got to the end of it, it was as if a burden had been lifted.
Right, right.
And I was like, you know, oh, my God.
I believe writing is therapeutic, but you have to be ready because you can start and then it'll trigger something, and then you'll start crying, you'll start dealing with it, and things that you have suppressed and things that have gone dormant that you have placed and you've buried them way deep down there and you forgot about them. When you begin to write, they bubble up to the surface and you have to deal with them. Would you agree?
Oh, absolutely, because that's exactly what happened.
Yeah.
That's exactly. Each time I would write maybe a couple of chapters and then, you know, I would remember something, I would literally have to put the book down for a week up to a month so that I could deal with and process that because so much came forth, those memories were so devastating to me because I had put them away. But they kept coming back to me in those.
Veronica, have you forgiven?
You know, that is a very interesting question because I get that question a lot. And I really have to dig deep within myself to say, or not even just to say, but to actually realize. And I think I realized it when God told me the reason, when he finally answered my question, that's when I was able to forgive.
Yeah.
And also with the organization, There's Hope and Healing, when I counsel people and we do support group meetings for those that have been victims of sexual abuse, and when they come to me and they thank me or they hug me or they can come into this room amongst other people that have been victims to know that they were not alone, and
that's
those
right.
that have read my book, that helps me to be able to forgive
yeah.
because, see, now I know
yeah.
that it wasn't just them that did what they did to me, but it was for a reason, for me to be able to help others to overcome theirs.
Wow. Yeah,
so,
yeah.
yes.
You know, the Word of God tells us that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the words of our testimony. So we do have to share those words, be it orally or in a book. And so that's how we're encouraging
yeah.
and that's how we're empowering others with the words of our testimony. When people read them off of a book or read them digitally or hear us speak, we are providing hope to them. So kudos to you, Veronica. God bless you so much for what you're doing and what you're continuing to work on. And you're working on your second book, is that correct?
I am. I am working on my second book. Yes, thank you. And that second book is, the first one is Visions from the Past. This one will be Visions to My Future.
I love it.
Thank you. And that book actually is going to have me going back to the place of my abuse, which is Texas, a small town in Texas called Jefferson, Texas. And that's a trip that I have to make. I know that God has brought me through this, and I have overcome, and I am a victor of this abuse. But I feel that once I go back there, that is just going to complete my healing. So
yeah,
that is a trip that I'm not looking forward to, but I am looking forward to because I needed to come to that full completion.
And all will be well when you arrive there. All will be well. I will be touching and agreeing with you as well, my sister.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Veronica, Breathe Again is a moment of hope, inspiration, and solutions. So people are listening all over, and they're going through. They're dealing with issues, and they're on the verge of giving up. I want you to take a moment and minister to somebody right now that may be going through what you have gone through, and they're just about to throw their hands up. They're about to walk away from God, and they're about to walk away from church, and they're just about to end it. So I want you to minister to them at this time.
Okay. Well, first of all, I want them to know that I understand. I totally and completely understand. Because as I stated before, there was one point in time that I did not believe in God because I could not believe that he would allow me to go through those things. However, there is a God. He is there, and he is with you. He is with all of us that have experienced some type of abuse, whether it is sexual, whether it is domestic abuse, period. Believe and have faith through this. Yes, it was something horrible. It was something terrible, and it's something that we will never forget. We're not going to forget it. However, we can learn how to overcome it. We can learn how to survive it. We can learn how to be victorious of it because God, in his infinite and wonderful wisdom, he gave us the ability to choose. The ability to choose. Now, there are some that are just comfortable, unfortunately, in being a victim. If you're not one of those, and if you want to heal, you have the choice. You have the choice to not stay in that place. But you have to take the step. The first step is believing and having faith in God that he's going to get you through this. because he will. If you just grab that mustard seed, all you need is a mustard seed. Understand that that ability is there and that you can do it. And that is the one thing I love about having this organization, because I want those to know that I'm not just someone that has an organization, but I have been in your shoes.
That's right.
And I have overcome this, and I'm here to help you to overcome it. And I will help you as much as I possibly can, all that I can possibly do. I have a young lady that was a victim of sexual abuse in Ohio, and her uncle was actually selling her to his friends, making money off this child. And she is now, she's 19, I think she's either 19 or 20 now. But when she first reached out to me, it was, she reached out to me through my website, and she contacted me and she asked me, no, she didn't ask me, she said, it's so good to know that I'm not alone.
That's right.
Now,
that's
a couple
right.
of years, a couple of years later, I did not realize, because I responded to her right away. I emailed her right back, and I asked her to tell me her story, and she started talking to me. I did not know that that child at that time had planned on taking 30 oxycodone pills.
My Lord,
she was ready to end her life that night. She was ready to end her life because she was tired. And she was beaten, and she was depressed. She was going to take her life. But because I responded to her immediately, that's what stopped her from taking those oxycodone pills. Because she realized that she was not alone.
Amen, amen. I love it, love it, love it. Well, Veronica, that's been our time. How can the listeners get in touch with you? How can they purchase your book, give your website information and your contact information so they'll know how to reach out to you as well?
Gladly. You can definitely purchase the book through sbpra.com/Veronica Von Seal. And Veronica Von Seal is VeronicaVonCile, all together. So that's SB as in boy, P as in Paul, RA.com/Veronica Von Seal. And you can always give me a call at 757-309-7764. And you can also publish the book on that website. And you can also, my email address is There's Hope, Inc., and that's THERESHOPEINC @gmail.com. There's
Wonderful.
Hope, Inc.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, thank you so much for joining us on today, Veronica. I know you blessed me, so I know you blessed the listeners as well. Continue doing
wonderful.
What you're doing, my sister. I love you so much.
Thank you. I love you too, Nicole, and thank you for having me on the show.
You are more than welcome. All right, listeners, that has been the first segment, and I know you were blessed by Veronica's testimony and her words of encouragement. Right now, I'm going to go to a interview that I had earlier today with Fatima Smith, Director of Community Outreach and Public Education with the YWCA in Richmond. Here you go. Hi, today we are going to be talking with Fatima Smith. She's the Director of Community Outreach and Public Education with the YWCA. Now, last week we talked about breast cancer awareness, and today we'll talk Violence Awareness Month, which will end at the end of the month, but we don't want it to end. We want this to be an ongoing conversation because the issue is ongoing. So welcome to the show, Fatima.
Hi, thanks for having me.
You are more than welcome. I know you have lots of things going on today, so I just want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us.
No problem. Thanks for shedding light on such an important issue.
You are more than welcome. Fatima, talk to me about domestic violence. What exactly is domestic violence? So many people have their stances on it. They have their definitions of what domestic violence is or what it is not. So tell me, what is domestic violence?
Domestic violence is a multifaceted term, and it encompasses physical, mental, emotional, psychological, spiritual, and financial abuse that is used to exert power and control over an individual. And that individual, when you're talking about domestic violence, can be in a family setting, and it also can be between two intimate partners. And so when we talk about the latter category, that has its own term known as intimate partner violence. And we use that term because it's more inclusive as far as recognizing heterosexual as well as same-sex relationships. And intimacy is not necessarily sex. It could be holding hands. It could be cohabitation. It could be just kissing. So we recognize that there are different levels of relationships, but at the end of the day, when there's power and control used over an individual, that's when it becomes abusive.
Right. Now, what are the warning signs? A lot of times people will say, well, it's not violent because they did not hit me. So what are the warning signs, Fatima?
So that's a really good point that you make, that a lot of times we just associate domestic violence with physical violence.
Mm-hmm.
But there are certain warning signs such as jealousy, name-calling, those little microaggressions like, you know, if it weren't for you, I could be doing such and such. All of those things play into a person exerting power and control, whether it's isolating an individual, whether it's checking someone's social media, controlling the finances. So all of those things are possible red flags and abusive behavior. There is a website that actually has red flags listed. It's through the Virginia Action Alliance. And a lot of times people read it and they'll say, well, I've, you know, called my partner stupid before, so does that mean I'm abusive? And I would always say that you have to take into consideration the context and content of the information. So, again, to reiterate, domestic violence is a pattern of abusive, controlling behavior to exert power over a person. So, you know, we all have our moments of saying something inappropriate. It's whether or not you are continuing to do that, and if you have no regard for the person's ability to consent and have decisions over themselves, that's when it becomes abusive, controlling, manipulative.
Great, great. Thank you so much for that. So our listeners will understand and kind of compare what's going on in their lives and what someone is doing to them to, hey, this may be the start of domestic violence. So thank you so much for that. Now, Tima, if someone has decided to leave or get away, what should they do first? A lot of times people have been married for 20 years, 30 years, or they've been with a significant other for a long time, so they're very dependent on that individual. They just don't know what they're going to do. So how do they get out, and what do they do first?
So at the YWCA of Richmond, we don't like to tell people what to do. We're about empowering survivors to make a decision that's best suited for their lives. So when somebody is approaching us and expressing a desire to leave an abusive relationship, the first steps are just safety planning, so assessing the situation, because the survivor knows their relationship better than anybody else. While some people perceive us as the experts, I always tell the survivor, you're the expert in your relationship. Mm-hmm. And so we sit down and we figure out, what are your options? Should you leave? What about transportation? What about money? Are there children involved? Safety issues? The most dangerous time for a survivor is when they're leaving, and on average it takes 7 to 9 times for someone to leave. So when we are approached by a survivor that's wanting to leave, we definitely keep that in mind. And like I said, we safety plan, we make referrals to services, and we offer counseling and case management here at the Y, all free of charge.
You know, that's I love what you do there. I absolutely love the work that you do and how you help so many women out here that are on the verge of giving up, because I know that the why is some most times an individual's last hope. So thank you so much for what you do. And Fatima, why do you do the work that you do?
I got involved with domestic and sexual violence from personal experience and just seeing other people going through it. And for me, I just wanted to be a part of the movement. I recognize that I can't change the world by myself, but just knowing that if I can reach one person, that's enough. And just knowing that I am taking a stand for something that's near and dear to my heart really just resonated with me.
I love it. That is the mission of Breathe Again, to offer hope, inspiration, and solutions. And our mission is if we can just affect one person, if we can change the mind, and if we can provide hope to just one person, then our mission has been accomplished. So I thank you so much, and I resonate with that so well. So talk to me about the Remember My Name Memorial event. That's tonight. So tell me a little bit about that.
So Remember My Name is at 6 o'clock this evening. It's at Unity of Richmond at 800 Blanton Avenue, Richmond, Virginia. And it is a non-denominational service that's offered to the community as a way to memorialize the lives that have been lost due to domestic violence. It is free, and we do it annually. This is the 19th annual event, and we have a guest named Tiffany Jana. She is a survivor and CEO of TMI Consulting, and she'll be speaking about her experiences and her transition from victim to survivor. And then we'll also do a candlelight ceremony, and we have a outdoor visual presentation that's new this year that we're excited about. And then at the end of the event, we will have a dessert reception hosted by Richmond Academy Medical Auxiliary.
Wonderful, wonderful. And what is the Notes of Hope campaign, Fatima?
The Notes of Hope, it's actually officially called the 1,000 Notes of Hope. That's the hashtag that they're trying to get trending on Twitter. And that was the wise way of putting out what we should be striving for. So when we talk about domestic violence, it's always with the, you know, highlighting the various forms of abuse. But with the 1,000 Notes of Hope campaign, we're hoping to spread kindness and positivity and shed light on what you should strive for in a relationship. That's to be healthy, happy, and safe. So we're hoping that people can also associate healthy relationships with domestic violence, because that's what we want to replace the violence with. So it's been well received. It's at 25 locations throughout Richmond, Henrico, and Hanover. You can find them at coffee shops. You can find them at bookstores, restaurants. And the idea is for you to find a note. If it's blank, write a note of encouragement and leave it somewhere for somebody else to find, or you might walk into a place and find a note and it already has a note that was meant for you. So it's essentially 1,000 notes of hope by Richmonders, just passing them along to one another.
I love it. I love it. Each one, reach one. Now, Fatima, Breathe Again is a moment of hope, inspiration, and solutions. If someone is out there and they're struggling and they just don't know what to do, what's the hotline number? What's the number that they could call?
So the Greater Richmond Regional Hotline number is 804-612-6126. Again, that number is 804-612-6126. And we provide services for survivors, for family and friends who are looking to get some guidance on what to do if they have loved ones who are experiencing abuse. And this hotline is regional, so we serve 16-plus cities and counties, and it's a collaborative between the YWCA of Richmond, Hanover Safe Place, Safe Harbor, Project Hope, Quinn Rivers, and the James House. So you make one call, and you're accessing all five of these agencies' services. So that way the survivor doesn't have to be re-traumatized telling their story repeatedly just to get some help.
Oh, I love that. I absolutely love that. And what's the website address?
The YWCA of Richmond's website is www.ywcarichmond.org.
Great, great. Fatima, thank you so much for what you do in the community, lives that you are impacting and lives that you are changing. And I wish you well on the event tonight.
Thank you, and thanks for having me again.
You're welcome. God bless you.
All right, bye-bye.
All right, listeners, that was our interview today with Fatima Smith, Director of Community Outreach and Public Education with the YWCA. We were talking about domestic violence and Domestic Violence Awareness Month. It ends at the end of October, which is tomorrow, but don't let it end there. Let the conversation continue long after October 31st. All right, listeners, that has been our show today. I know you were blessed by Veronica's testimony as well as the information that Fatima shared on today. I love you, love you, love you for hanging out with me on today. And I never, ever say goodbye. I always say until next time. So God bless you and have a super fabulous evening. Bye-bye.